The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
Forever Dog!
She was just dying to visit her boyfriend. This week on the podcast, R.L. Stine's College Weekend.
Hello, welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Cate.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And we are back on Fear Street yet again. A lot of Fear Street books.
A lot of Fear Street.
Scheduled lately. With College Weekend.
Yeah. Fast read.
The slimmest of volumes.
So slim.
Bless.
I think it might be because we were coming off of a V.C. Andrews.
Perhaps, yes.
So that may
it
be
it. Felt so fast.
I've never loved you more than I have right now,
RL.
I think I have changed into an RL stan because it did take me 30 minutes to read this book. It was so short. I mean.
Chef's kiss on the length.
And honestly.
And the ending.
The ending was 10 out of 10.
Yeah. This was like Moosehead ending.
Yes. I did love that, like, R.L. Stine did not really do fake outs. It was, like, from the beginning.
One fake out.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Just one.
Yeah,
and, like,
just
even
one.
Like,
and then it came back
as,
like, a tool.
And then the...
So he was using every part of the bison, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, very resourceful and not wasteful. he also, like, there was...
Make a bone broth.
I loved... that he had, like, one red herring that, like, everyone knew was just not, like, the person we thought was the killer the whole fucking time.
Yeah.
And,
which, like, I had no problem with.
None whatsoever.
But I thought, and I did think that Carla was in on it.
I did until, weirdly enough, I did until she comes into the studio and is, like, acting weird. I was like, oh, she's just trying to.
Yeah, that's when I realized when she got there was Steve.
Yeah.
Same.
But up till there, I was like, she's being weird.
Too weird. So very
she
weird.
She was being too weird. But I guess she was just, like, really freaked out because she looks exactly like. Okay. You know what I was hoping would happen in this book, though?
Hit me.
Because. So when he's like, oh, talking about how he can do, like, manipulations of the color in photos because he is a photographer. And he's like, yeah, I could change your hair color and to brown and your eyes to green. And she's like, that because that would make her look like his dead girlfriend. Okay, for some reason, I was like, she is his dead girlfriend. She, like, thought she was someone
what?
Else. Like, I was hoping. Listen, it was a small hope. I was like, this would be fucking insane. But it
maybe
didn't
in a pike.
It would. That's the thing. It would be a pike where she had, like, created this other, like, that's why everyone else is, like, so freaked out that she looks so similar, you know? But no, it's just that he's really obsessed with her. Because she looks like, because she looks like his ex or dead girlfriend. I just almost started laughing thinking about just the final, like, situation.
It was a situation.
Okay, so let's like just start out. Let's just do because not much happens in this book, really.
Can I say this is nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I just did an amazing thing.
What?
I was on our Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I was going to change our profile photo, possibly like back to just the podcast, the main podcast art. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the section that was like, enter your date of birth.
You're going to put
like,
your birthday?
Oh, fun. I'll put the podcast birthday because like the first episode came out July 13th.
But it would make us a minor.
2016, it made us a minor. And now I'm locked out. It is now locked on Twitter.
Oh my God.
So now I have to submit my ID.
Oh my God.
Oh, chaos.
That's very good. That's very good.
Amazing.
That's really, really good. Really, really good. Oh my God.
Why would it just immediately lock you? That's crazy.
I wish it would be like, are you sure? Because yes. That means you're a minor and like,
why wouldn't it say like, we're gonna lock you out? Oh, I did not realize that would happen. Why wouldn't it just kick you? Whatever.
Yeah. Oh my God.
My goodness. Well, okay. Anyway, please continue. It was just too funny not to share.
No, it's really good.
I didn't want to forget at the end of the episode.
No. It's really good that you're telling me as it's happening now. Because what if I went to go check it and I was like, Lindsay? And you're like, funny story.
Sorry, what? Sorry.
Because
I was like, I had Mike change my Twitter password for my personal account so that I can't go into it until I finished the first draft of my pilot. And I was like, oh, so when I get that Twitter itch, I'll just go on Teen Creeps and do something like productive and fun. And now
I think this is like,
it's a sign.
Yeah,
I think this is like
you need to just stay locked out forever.
Except that like we that's not new,
sustainable
what the
for
podcast
us.
Needs. Yes.
Right.
Oops. All right.
So
anyway,
what the fuck
Holly's
is this
weekend.
Main character's name? All I know is Holly.
Tina.
Okay, great. So Holly Tina
is the cousin. Do you want to read the back of the book?
Sure. Actually, you do it because I'd have to pull it up and you have it.
Okay. Yeah, I have the physical copy. Nightmare weekend. Nothing can ruin Tina Rivers' big weekend at Patterson College with her boyfriend, Josh Martin. She's so excited, she doesn't even mind that her cousin Holly will be tagging along. But when Tina and Holly arrive, Josh is gone. His roommate, Christopher Roberts, too close, says Josh is stuck in the mountains, delayed by car trouble. That's weird. Josh never mentioned he was going away. It gets even weirder when Holly suddenly disappears. But Christopher isn't worried about Holly or Josh. Way to just tell us the whole book. Right? Christopher seems to have the answer to everything. Tina is confused, but one thing is clear. She's about to learn more about love and murder than she ever wanted to know. Yeah, she is. She very much is.
Like within like an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
it's all going to happen.
It. I think not even 24 hours goes by.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I do, like, this is truly, like, the worst weekend of her life. Like, even aside from, like, a murder attempt on her and, I mean, the piece de resistance, the fact that her fucking boyfriend's been dead this entire time is so fucking funny.
I did not expect that.
Me neither.
I really, really thought that he was still going to be alive.
This man is dead. His eyes are milky. Absolutely dead. And I loved the fake out of her being like, oh, my God, he's, like, she used a fake out on him.
Mm-hmm.
Which I liked.
It was amazing.
But so Tina is, she's so beautiful. She wants to be a model. And
she's so very pretty.
And her cousin, Holly, we have no idea what she looks like because she's not in the book, really. So we know she has curly brown hair. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
She's boy crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, and she wants to be a drama major.
Right. She's very into drama.
And Josh thinks she talks about herself too much.
That's true. So Josh doesn't really like her. Josh has been acting a little bit different. He's like kind of like she feels like he's like, you know, moved on. He's in college. So she's a little bit worried, but she does really love him. So she's excited for this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So she comes. Her parents only let her go with Holly. Holly comes with her. They get like mugged by a guy, except like they get saved by Chris. And Chris is like really handsome and she's like instantly drawn to him. And she's like, oh my God, he's so hot. But like, I have a boyfriend. Except like, I love that like literally within an hour, she's just kissing him.
She's like, or do I? I do.
So she's like, okay. Oh, and then he's like, oh, Josh isn't here because he went camping. But like he's doing some geology thing in the woods. So like, and his, the weather's bad. So they're trapped, but they're going to come down like in 4 hours.
Don't worry about it.
And she's like, okay, you are very handsome, so I will believe you. And also, like, you like the same band as me.
And so that changes everything.
Yeah. Like, I've just never met a guy that, like, I can talk to so easily. And Holly's like, I'm here. Also.
Hello, me as well.
So then he's like, they meet. He's like, me and Josh are going to sleep in my photography studio. And you
photography studio
and you and Holly are going to sleep in our dorm, which I was like, that's weird, but okay. Like, it's just very chaste of you to do, but fine.
Yeah. I was like, that RA is not going to give a shit.
Yeah, no one's going to care. What are you fucking talking about? So she's like, okay, cool. She and Holly are like unpacking. They meet this girl, Darla, who's like, oh my God, you look so much like her. And she's like, who? And she's like, do you want to go to a party?
Oh. Did you say Darla?
Probably. Carla. Carla's like, let's go to a party. I can't answer you about who you look like. And she's like, okay. So they go to this party. She tries to set up Holly with Chris because she's like, I need to get this undeniable chemistry away from me. And then Holly and Carla are like, let's go talk about theater. And she's like, okay. So then she goes out on the balcony and then just starts making out with Chris. And she's like, oh my God.
He's like, make a wish. And she's like, I wish Josh were here. And he's like, cool, I heard Chris. And
no. Do you know what her wish is?
Oh, it's to not be a about famous Josh. Model.
It's to be a beautiful model. to be a professional model. And he's like,
you're right.
He's like, maybe I can make that wish come true because my uncle is a famous photographer. Because
I'm my uncle.
I could take lots of shots of your face.
I am basically him.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
And then he kisses her and she's like, uh-oh. And she really likes the kiss and they're kissing. And then she's like, I have got to go. And then she tries to look for Holly. Holly's gone. And Carla's like, this is the thing. I don't understand why Carla is like lying all the time.
I think what it turns out to be is that all of this was true, except for
the
Alyssa thing.
Yeah. And the Alyssa thing and her being like,
problem.
Josh called me. I have to go pick him up.
It's Chris who says that.
Oh, Chris says that.
So he goes looking first. Carla tells her the truth, which is like, I saw her hanging out with some people, I think. And then Chris goes to look for her and he's like, I found her. She's with that girl, Alyssa.
No. I mean, later when Carla says, Josh called me, remember? She's like, Josh called me. I have to go pick him up. He's in the mountains. Their car broke down.
Maybe she says Steve. Otherwise, that is a slip up.
Yeah. And then, remember, she's like, No, because she definitely mentions Josh because Tina's like, oh, I'll come with you because I want to see Josh. And she's like, no.
Which is
my car's a two-seater.
Why?
Because remember, she goes, no, my car's a two-seater and Josh is going to have to like sit in the trunk anyway.
Here it is. She says, Josh and Steve called. He tried your room first, Carla explained, but you were out. Well, where are they? They're still stuck. Then it broke down again. So I'm going to drive up there and get him. And I think the explanation, that's too vague, though.
Because like, why would she say Josh and Steve?
I'll give the benefit of the doubt in that she's... Oh, yeah, because she... Chris told her that Josh had peaced out to spend the weekend with a different girl.
Yeah.
Flip up.
So, okay, that's what's happening though. So flip she's up. Covering up though. No, that's on purpose. So she's covering up because she didn't want to hurt Tina. And that's why she keeps being like, when you're in college.
Was in fact the answer.
Yeah. Okay, I remember now. Because she was like, that's why she kept being like, you know, when you're in college, everyone's in open relationships. You'll see, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, the second she meets her, it's like, you look like nobody. Don't worry about it. Josh doesn't appreciate you. Okay, bye.
I know. Okay. That makes sense.
Poor Carla. She's doing her best.
She's trying to tend someone else's garden, which...
Yeah, and it's so hard to tend another's garden.
It's hard, because, like, they shouldn't have put that on her. Specifically, Chris should not have put his, like, murder excuses on her.
Yeah, it's not kind.
Not kind at all. He's not a good friend.
No. Bad friend. Bad murderer.
Bad murderer.
Murderers make bad friends.
It's actually, I think that's probably true.
I think. Because, like, even if
you murder someone nice, for someone.
But like you've murdered.
And unless that's what, but that's okay. I think that's true.
Unless
right?
that's being a good friend.
Well, here's what I think. Because, okay, let's say you murder someone for someone else, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's two sides. One, you don't know that somebody wanted you to murder someone for them. So that's like, why would you put that on someone? Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, if your friend wants you to murder someone for them, that's not fair of them.
Mm-mm.
Because why would they put you at risk?
It's not.
So truly, I think murderers make bad friends.
Yep.
I think
glamour sex is non-consensual and murderers make bad friends.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So she...
We should probably talk about Wonder Woman 1984.
So here's what I'm going to tell you. I have not seen that movie. All I know is what was communicated to me. So there's a special episode of Same Day Shipping in which, because Ryan, Colin, and Patrick have seen it, they told me like a balderdash version of that movie, and I had to figure out what was true and what was false.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, much of it was true.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, Wonder Woman did rape a man.
Yes, it's a shame.
It's an absolute shame.
Do not
but greatness
love to
is
see
not
it.
What you think, Lindsay.
You know what? Sometimes even your heroes fall.
So, anyway.
But it's okay because the lesson was that you have to see the truth.
Okay.
And it's fine. And it's a good movie and it's fine.
I just can't believe
and it's perfect.
I just can't believe that.
And if you don't like it, it's probably because you're a misogynist.
I can't believe that one guy was a stone.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I thought it'd be better if his son was a stone.
Well, you'll see. It's not really that.
Well, he wishes that he could become a stone. I understand this.
Yes.
Because the stone is destroyed.
Yes.
But I wish, just for narrative's sake, that he wished he, like,
I wish a lot of things for narrative's sake.
For narrative's sake.
I have many wishes. I need that stone.
Oh, yeah, you do. Well, the consequences, you're not going to be able to really predict what they would be because it seems pretty arbitrary.
Yeah, because then it just takes from me whatever it wants.
Right. Mm. But sometimes it's like not even related to the wish.
Yeah. No, it's just whatever you value. Whatever like you value most is what it will take.
But like, yeah, sometimes that's like really bad.
And sometimes it's like, okay. It's like not a lot. I guess it depends on what you have to offer the stone.
Mm-hmm.
Also, why does he get headaches? Anyway, it's fine.
Honestly, I might never see the movie because I'm fine with like what I learned from it. Like what I learned from other people telling me about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because also it seems like a lot of time for me to spend because it does seem like
it's
a long
like
movie.
2.5 hours.
That's okay.
It's just like she's so, why can't she get over Steve?
Because it's, you know, it's been many years. It's been many years.
40 years and she's immortal. So I feel like maybe
like
that's the answer is because
that's
like time is relative. So like in her life, it's just like 4 years.
I just like, for me, like a question that I have is like, and this is so minor, but like, why are they like back, like right where they left off? Like, A, he's in a dead man's body wearing a dead man's clothes, and they're making
he's
fun
in a
of his clothes.
Live man's he's, body is the problem.
Well, here's the thing. It is a live man's body, but at the time, and it's a you dead think man's maybe essence. He is dead. Like, you think maybe, like, because you're like, did we just take this man's life away from him?
Look, yes. Sometimes dead Chris Pine's essence quantum leaps into a live man. And what, are you not going to fuck that live man?
I also really don't like mm-hmm. that she sees him at a classic DC open air Christmas market afterwards. And they have like a moment. Like, I don't like that.
It's and then she like kind of smiles at him like, I raped you once.
Yeah, like that's my little secret that I like raped your body. Like, who?
Nobody brought this up. Nobody at any step
Nobody
of the process
was like, this
was
is
like,
weird.
It's not like he isn't that body.
Right. Right.
It's like, it's sort of like reverse glamour sex.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that that man is glamoring, it's that somebody else is glamoring onto that man.
I also have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it was communicated to me, and I believe this to be true. I'm sad to hear that this is true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so is it that she can change the plane invisible? She can turn it invisible
mm-hmm.
because she decides that she can, because off screen she turned a teacup invisible earlier.
No, it's like... It turns out this is a thing that's possible that she's never tried before except on a teacup. So she's like, maybe I can get it done now. Oh, I can. That's good news.
Right. But like, so unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
this does feel kind of like, you know, what can she not, you know, like she can just do. So she can just if she thinks maybe I can do this. It just seems like what else can't she, you know, like, and she can also fly.
She learns to fly because as I, so I am a little confused in the, not confused, but I'm just like, that's a strange choice when they're right. flying.
Mm-hmm.
Steve's a pilot.
Right.
So he's all about flying. They're
he
up
loves
in the
it.
Plane. He loves it. They're up in the plane, and Diana's like, yeah, whenever I see a plane, I just like, I look up and I think about how much I love you and how
all right, girl. I mean, that's like multiple times a day. Ever. Okay.
All the time. All the time. It never hurts any less for Diana. So, okay. And then she says, I've never really understood the appeal of flying. You've never understood the appeal of flying, of being like up in the air thousands and thousands of feet.
Yeah.
It, like, which is like above man's physical capability. And it's like, you've never understood the appeal. Never.
So is this sentence?
He's like, I love it because it's just like you're riding the air. And so then after Steve's like, you know what? It's not right to keep this man's body forever. Except that's not even how he puts it. It's like, I'm gone. You need to move on with your life.
Oh, so
it's
he's
like
not
they
really
never
caring about
really
the guy.
Talk about the fact that he's just commandeered this man's body. If I'm remembering correctly, it's very possible that they do address this.
I think it's probably not.
It's very possible that they don't is the problem. Mm-hmm. So he's like, let me go take back your wish. Sorry to just like, I'm sure that if you don't want to know the spoilers to Wonder Woman, you've already skipped ahead.
Right.
So
I just don't get why she's the first person to do that.
And she like runs and runs and runs and leaps. And what it is she can leap so high and control her body so well that she then can ride the airflow.
But okay. So the sentence of her being like,
so,
I never
she has to,
really
like,
got
use
the
momentum.
Appeal. Right. But so the I never really got the appeal thing is kind of supposed to explain why she's never
even tried thought. Before.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's like that. And also like he's the one who like clued her into how she could do it. And now it's like, oh, it's like I'm with him when I'm in the air, maybe.
She's
like
on,
using
dude.
Her lasso to,
right.
She lassos lightning and then uses that to continue propelling herself forward like she's Spider-Man. So she's like a combo of Superman and Spider-Man, and that's how she flies.
Okay.
It's kind of like how, you know, I said on Mexican Gothic how spiders can fly by riding electromagnetic waves. Yeah. It's kind of like
that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So but we are like, to believe.
Why can't she just have an invisible jet? Like Mike pointed out, he's like, wouldn't it have been fun if she just like had Batman type toys? She just had an invisible jet that she could go to. And that would be fun.
And that's part of her mythos.
That's how it is. Yeah. She's got a fun truth lasso. Mm-hmm. And she's got an invisible jet. So just let her have it.
I'm also confused. Okay. So you know how they're like, the way that she defeats Max Lord is she's like, I renounce my wish. And he's like, what? Like,
it's more complicated than that.
But my problem with this.
Yes.
Question.
Yes.
Are we to believe that like no one
ever renounce their wish? That is said. That's explicitly said.
Why?
Because no one has ever been able to give up. Because everybody up wishes for the thing they want most.
Right, but then like
and they can't bring themselves to give it up. They can't.
So they just keep like a really bad thing too?
Yeah, so they just they embrace their own destruction rather than give up the thing they desire most. Because it's supposed to be like you'd rather have the illusion.
Right, but I just
because of her training and only seeing the truth, she's able to give up her illusion, and then she's able to inspire others to give up their illusion. So it was like almost as if one person needed to break the spell to be able to get through to everybody else.
But like, okay, so then she's like, I just need to go on a screen and like tell everybody you have to renounce your wish.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't even know who she is. So she's just some lady.
Yes.
She's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great.
I think maybe there might be an element if she's using the lasso of truth.
Okay.
And they're like seeing the flash of the lasso.
Okay.
I don't even think they're seeing her face. They're just hearing her voice and the bright yellow light.
Okay.
I kind of forget in that moment though, but yeah, she okay, just well, tells I'm everybody just gonna to renounce their wish. And in this moment it does make sense why everybody's like renouncing their wish, because they're some of the people's wishes are like pretty random in that moment,
right? Because they're like, all
some,
like the one
some
lady
dude just like gets in a fight,
right?
And he's like annoyed, and in that moment he's like, oh, I wish you were dead. And she has a heart attack and he's like, oh, what?
Yeah,
and so him
yeah.
going,
and
I renounce my wish is like not a problem, because that was not his heart's desire. That was just like random, I didn't mean it, hyperbole.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of cases of that. And everybody's just watching mass destruction on television.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of gets through to everybody. And then somehow like the weakening of them giving up their wishes decreases Trump boy's strength.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
and
so
now, is
he,
it true that he does say fake news in the movie?
Ooh, does he? I don't.
Patrick think told me so. He says fake news when he's and I was like, are you sure that's not a line? He's like, no, someone wrote that line.
I
when he's watching oh her God, save someone in a mall true. On the TV.
If that's fucking true, I hate this movie.
So
I don't just
I
have problems
like,
with it. I hate it.
Like to
it's
me, I'm like someone.
Too-
so.
On the nose. It's too on the nose for me. It's not. It's too.
It's like the
Trump.
Newsroom. It's like
Trump.
The newsroom.
Yes.
Here's
it
the
feels
thing.
Like the newsroom.
Because it's like, oh, wow. Looking back on the 80s, like, I'm so smart. I can see all this bullshit. But it's like, okay, well yeah, now, because you see that he's a fucking dictator.
I don't really have a problem with the larger message of like greed of the 80s.
No, not at all.
Because
at all.
We do have. Because that is timeless, but to be like the message is Trump.
Yeah, no,
it
specifically
just
that. It just reminds me of Newsroom.
For me. It's too specific for me. And I, but then again, I understand that there are parallels. Like she fights Hitler. Why shouldn't she be able to fight a Trump stand-in?
But to
so,
me, it just feels very capital B brave.
Overload, yes. It feels capital R resistance.
Yes,
and
or
I
like
don't.
Like pussy hat or whatever.
Yeah.
No offense to anybody that made those. I did not make one.
It was a it was a noble gesture. It just felt,
noble gesture.
It feels, it just felt a little bit easy.
Yeah.
And to I'm me, all it just for felt the, like, I'm all for the outcome of like, she doesn't have to kill him. He like lets his power go. That's cool.
Honestly, actually, now I haven't seen the movie, but I'm like, how fucking like, what a pussy ass bitch are you that you put, you're going to make a statement about fucking Trump and you can't have Wonder Woman kill this guy. Like, I know she's Wonder Woman and she's good and blah, blah, blah. But to me, it just seems so like, if you're going to write in fake news and you don't like.
Well, it's like, I understand. It's like the message is like, the real way to defeat Trump is by embracing the truth and not believing his lies. I get it. But particularly, I felt this way before. And then the poor movie, even more now, where it's like, no, we have to punish Trump. This is not a pardon him to let the nation heal situation anymore. This man was taking over the world and just causing like nations to topple. People are dying. Mass chaos in the streets. The solution is not, let's go let him be with his son.
Oh, fuck his son, dude.
So it's the problem is just like, now this movie suffers from timing because
That's unfortunate. It's unfortunate.
Terrorism happened. People broke into the Capitol, which is basically what's happening in this movie. And unfortunately, the movie took the wrong path of what politicians are trying to do now, that we're all like, no, either 25th or impeach him so this man cannot take office again. This is not the time to let him go live his life. So that's not truly really the movie's sense. Fault, but it is.
Yeah,
if you're going to make him Trump, you're really letting Trump off the hook.
Yeah. So that's one of four. Thanks for listening to the episode, y'all.
That was our mini inside a regular episode on Wonder Woman 1984, and you're welcome. And that's free content that we would have put on Patreon. Indeed. So, college weekend.
Okay, so she's at this party. Oh, yeah, she's just made out with Chris. Holly's missing. And then Chris is like, oh, well, we should just go. I'll just take you back. Holly's out with her friend Alyssa, so like, it's fine, let's just go. So then she goes to sleep. This part actually creeped me out.
Oh my god, it's crazy. The whole book is genuinely creepy.
When he's powdering her makeup, I was like, I'm scared, because it seemed very like, you know, it's when like a killer like does the nails of their murder victim.
Yes,
it was like that.
It's really gross.
So she's going to sleep. She can't sleep. She's so freaked out. She's hearing all these noises. It's so stormy out. She falls back asleep. She hears this like clicking sound. She's like, what? And she's like, should I turn on the lights? I'm really scared. Cause like, what if I turn on the lights and like they're there? Like, what do I do? And the clicking stops. And so she's like, okay, I guess I'll turn it on. She turns on the light and the doors open. So someone was in her room. And she's like, oh my God, what? And it's 4 a.m. and Holly's still not there. And she's like, oh my God, I'm freaked. She locks the door and goes back to sleep. She's like, who was in there? How could I have left
the
door
unlocked? It really is a crazy weekend.
It's really a nightmare weekend, like the book says.
Nightmare weekend.
Nightmare weekend.
So then later, she discovers that he was in her room and he took a picture of her while she was sleeping.
Yeah, and ooh, also later
this is a
she
real
discovers
Jessica
that
Jones situation.
She also discovers that while she was getting mugged, he took a picture of her.
Yeah, before he comes to her rescue, he was like, "I'm just gonna snap a quick pic of her being in distress." Okay, now I'm gonna go in.
Also, he makes her ride around town on a scooter with him, and at one point at a stoplight, he like gets off of the scooter and takes a picture of her face.
That was so weird. I was like, "How is she staying up?" On the is it a
I, know,
I guess
I like,
it's a moped, not a
down?
Bike.
So is the kickstand down? Is she have her foot down?
I guess. I mean, I guess you would you put that down if you're at a stoplight? I
also,
do not
she's,
drive a scooter.
Well, I don't think so. I think no, you don't put your kickstand down at a stoplight. I think also if she's sitting behind him, just the idea of him getting off while she's behind him. Like, it just is very weird. Anyway, so then she...
I don't understand the balance going on.
No. So I think she probably was like, whoa, and had to put her foot down to balance it when he gets off to take a picture of her face.
Mm-hmm.
So then... Oh, so he's taking her all around. Still can't find anybody. Holly's missing. Josh is missing. Then Carly is like, oh, Josh and Steve called. Steve, my boyfriend. And they need me to pick them up. So I'm going to go do that. You can't come with me. I only have a two-seater. So you stay here with Chris, because also, what about Holly? And she's like, that's true. I should wait. So
that was the actual good point she was making.
It actually was true.
Oh, yeah. Your cousin is missing?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then also, okay, I laughed really hard at it just sounded really fake. But I guess it wasn't. So she's like, I had to bring so much clothes because Josh said he wants to take me to the beach and the carnival and a show and a party and this. And I was like, what? Like, did he just make shit up? But I guess there was a carnival because she goes with Chris.
They say that, yeah, that he was planning their whole weekend. And he was unfortunately genuinely excited about it. Does love her. Was not cheating on her. Had photos of her everywhere. And Chris just stole them.
Yeah. And,
He was
dead the whole time.
He's fucking dead.
So she goes on to the carnival with him and with Chris. And he's like, let's go. Or he's like, let's take some shots, photos. So then he's taking all these pictures of her.
Tequila.
And she's like, okay. And then he's like, let's go on the Ferris wheel. And she's like, okay. Ferris wheel gets broken. They're at the top. And he's like, kiss me. And she's like, you know what? I don't want to anymore. You're kind of freaking me out. Yes. And he's like, you kissed me before. You don't want to kiss me now. And he starts shaking the fuck. I was like, this man, this is scary.
Truly scary.
And she's like, please stop.
He's like, if you don't kiss me again, you fucking tease bitch, I will dump us out of this Ferris wheel bucket.
Yeah.
And that's when he starts calling her Judy for the first time.
Oh, yeah. And she's like, uh-oh. And she had heard from Carla that he used to have a girlfriend named Judy who died in a boating accident last year. And he's never been the same because he doesn't have eyes for anybody else but Judy / Tina.
Yeah, because Tina looks like Judy. I don't know if we mentioned that she looks exactly like Judy, except that Judy had brown hair and green eyes.
Right. And she has red hair and blue eyes.
Honestly, I sort of would have preferred if he didn't literally think she was Judy.
Yeah.
That's a personal preference, though. I'm not saying it was wrong to make him actually delusional, but I would have liked it if he was like vertigoing her.
Yeah. That would have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
But he does really think it's her. Well, kind of. He like goes in and out. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah. Towards the end, he only does.
Okay. So the book culminates, chef's kiss. He's so dumbass Tina, who has already experienced like absolute nightmare hell situation with Chris. He has assaulted her and threatened her life in a Ferris wheel bucket.
She's a like, girl who has internalized rape culture.
Yes.
She's like, I sort of let him on. I should be polite. As long as I'm polite, everything will be fine. And I'm like, oh, poor Tina.
Well, also, she is kind of a slave to her own ambition because he's like, well, I can show these pictures to my uncle, Robert, who's like this famous photographer, which she's
my
like,
uncle, Rob Roberts.
Rob Roberts.
I was like, Robert Stein.
Not Robert <don't>. Roberts.
Robert Stein. Don't name this character Rob Roberts.
And she's like, well, I do want to make it in this industry, so I do want those photos to be seen by Rob Roberts. So I'm going to go to this guy's studio. And so the second she gets there, she's like, wow, why are there 20 locks on the door? And he's like, my equipment, it's expensive. And she's like, okay. And he's like, you should get dressed and put on makeup, put on a lot of eyeliner and put on a lot of lipstick. I was like, what's happening?
I want you to look like a Robert Palmer girl.
So she's like, wow, all size six, exactly my size. That's crazy.
Coincidence. But, anyway.
Yeah, she doesn't really think of it.
Oh, he was calling me by someone else's name. Unrelated.
So then he's like, you look beautiful. Let me powder your face. And he's like powdering her face. And then he's like taking pictures of her and she's having a fucking panic attack because she's like, you need to get out of here. This is like really weird. He's like putting on your makeup for you and like being really like controlling. Like he's like, wear this mini skirt and these heels and this top. And so she's doing that. And then he's like, wear this wig, this brown wig. And she's like, and he stuffs it on her head. And she's like, okay, I think I have to go. And he's like, what? No, I have the perfect outfit for you. And I did not understand.
I don't know what was going on.
It's like,
I was like, why?
Yeah.
Did Judy wear this? Is Judy like an old timey like Victorian cosplayer?
Yeah. So first she's like, I don't like wearing these clothes because like, well, because he's like, oh, Judy, wear your clothes. And she's like, what? And he's like, these are Judy's clothes. And she's like, oh, my God. And he's like, don't make me kill you again, Judy. And she's like, And he's like, smile, camera, now pout, stare at me. And taking all these pictures.
So many instructions. I would never be able to be a model.
Lindsay.
It's chaos.
The fact that you read this and you're like, oh, I could
not
never
for me.
Man, what these models go through.
Wow, huh? Seems hard.
So he's like, stare at the light, do this. And she's like, I think I need a soda. She's like, I need to get him out of the room. And he's like, okay.
I was so proud of her and her plans.
Yes, her plans were very good. So he's like, but first, put on this like Victorian dress over the clothes you're wearing now. So she
literally a dress from the 1890s, according to him.
And she's like, great, this didn't belong to Judy, which I'm like, how did you know that it didn't?
Yeah. I mean, he's like, this belonged to my grandmother. And she's like, okay, I shouldn't believe anything you say, but okay. And then he like shows her an ad from the time of a bunch of women dressed like that holding perfume bottles on the beach. And she's like, okay.
And he's like, and she's like, oh, phew. Okay, back
this
to normal.
Definitely isn't because you murdered your girlfriend on a sailboat.
So then he's like, I set up this, he's also extremely busy. He's like, while you were getting dressed, I put together a beach scene in my studio. There's sand everywhere. Come over here. And so she starts to go over there and she's like, oh, I cannot get on this beach scene because he's going to think I'm Judy again. He's going to try and kill me because that's where she died. So she's like, I need soda. I'm so sweaty under this dress and the lights. And he's like, okay. So he goes to get the soda. She tries to unlock all the doors. She can't in time because there's 20. And then he's like, you shouldn't have fucking done that, Judy. And then he locks her in the dark room. It stinks in there. She's like, oh, the chemicals. And then she opens a locker. And what does she find in there, Lindsay?
Well.
Funny you should ask.
Maybe the most traumatizing sight of your dead boyfriend.
Yeah.
Possible.
Yeah.
Unless like here's and just like off the top of my head, I was like, okay, what would be more horrifying than this? If your dead boyfriend fell out of a cabinet wearing your mom's face, maybe?
Maybe.
The skin
maybe.
Of your mom's face. That might be more horrible. But here's what she sees. So a rancid smell hits her. And I'll just read the whole passage. Her eyes settled on the tall metal cabinet. Her legs trembled as she made her way across the dark room. Be strong, she told herself. Everything is going to be okay. But the moment she pulled open the cabinet door, Tina knew that nothing would be okay again. The rancid smell hit her first. Her stomach tightened. A sour taste collected on her tongue. No. A low wail escaped her throat. She forced her eyes up to the face. What remained of the face? The sunken eyes staring blindly back at her, solid like egg whites. Eggs.
Ick.
Those clothes. She recognized the black t-shirt with the mountains on the front. She bought that shirt. She remembered that she bought it the day he got his acceptance at Patterson. No, it's not him. It's not him. It's not. Tina screamed. Josh's stiff body tumbled to the floor. There's more. Chapter 18. Tina choked on her tears. She forced herself to roll the corpse onto its back. Josh's face. His handsome face. The skin had been eaten away, exposing his nose and cheekbones. The skin on his forehead flapped loose. Tina saw tiny red veins along his hairline. Most of his beautiful, thick brown hair had been burned away. Chemicals? Had Chris used chemicals to kill Josh? No. She noticed a deep gash on the side of his head. Chris must have surprised Josh by throwing the chemicals in his face. Then Chris smashed him over the head. He's so dead. I thought he was going to wake up somehow.
Me too. When she thought it was faked out, I was faked out.
I guess the reason, I totally thought this was going to be a fake out because it's not a super chiller.
No. And that, he's dead, that, dead, like, dead.
That sort of paradigm of having the super chiller have the gruesome deaths as opposed to Fear Street. Not the case in this one.
No, because he is, I mean, I guess we're never in his head seeing him, you know, die. And so I guess that's a difference. But this is like Cheerleader. Cheerleader also had like gruesome deaths and those were not super chillers. So I guess it's kind of like in that realm. But this, I was truly like, okay, RL, we are going to have this man be absolutely dead, acid all over his face and body. His eyes are just like milky, dead, dead, dead. He is like killed and he falls on her and he's been rotting in there for days. Like, truly, I was like, oh, wow.
I was like, kudos, Robert.
I liked this book a lot.
I did too. It was like a little, although we were praising it for being like such a fast read, but it is a bit sparse. Like it may be sparse. But it's the case with all these books that I could always do with a little more character development and interactions. But then she finds, I thought that Holly was going to be dead, but Holly's not.
Holly was going to be dead too. She kidnapped her and tied her up.
She should have been dead as well.
Yeah, I think she should have been dead as
just
well.
Just because I think, why? Why wouldn't he have also killed her?
Yes. I think Tina should have been completely alone by the end
of
the book.
I think Tina's life should have been as ruined as possible.
Yes.
I want Tina to suffer.
Like, you know that?
Because she looks like a girl I once knew.
Yeah. My girlfriend who died mysteriously on a boat.
Because I killed her, not mysterious.
I wanted her to be, you know, that horror movie trope of the final girl that's like laughing because she's just like so turned so crazy by the events where she's just cackling as she's being taken away to safety. Mm-hmm. I wanted Tina there. I wanted Tina completely unhinged from all reality.
Yeah, I just, and really it's just like, why wouldn't he kill Holly if he killed Josh and Judy? This is a boy willing to kill.
Yeah, so why not Holly?
Yeah, but it's fine. Good for Holly. Good for Holly.
Yeah, good for Holly.
And now she gets to be a drama major. I had the time of my life. Holly, check out UC Irvine.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
University of California, Irvine. It's not the best undergraduate program. It's more of a liberal arts drama program than undergraduate program. The graduate program is more of like an acting training, but you'll have a great time. There's an improv troupe there you could look into.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her.
Yeah.
She'll have fun.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Tina's life is pretty ruined.
Yeah.
I don't think she's bouncing back.
This is going to take a bit.
Yeah.
This is on the level of Spore God.
Right.
Without the supernatural twist. It's still pretty traumatizing.
It's very traumatizing. I loved, though, that she was like, kind of what you were mentioning, she was constantly, like, from the second that she gets into that studio, she's looking around for, like, weapons, for lockpicks, for everything, like, the entire time. And she tries to splash him with acid in the face, but she accidentally uses the water. She doesn't do the developer, so she...
But she's using her brain.
She's using her brain. And then when he's
escorting her, a main character that uses her brain.
Absolutely.
Even if, and then when, like, rape culture has been ingrained in your DNA, good for you.
Yeah. I mean, she's really above and beyond. Mm-hmm. So then she like looks around while he's escorting her and she sees this heavy camera tripod. She's like, okay, note where that is. And then when she, after she finds Scott's dead body, I'm sorry, Josh's dead body, Chris takes her out. same thing. Chris takes her out and he's like, or she goes, oh my God, he's moving. He's getting up.
That was so smart. And
it was so smart because I believed her. I was like, is he?
I was like, oh, it was a fake out.
But no.
Chris, she would have gotten me. She would have gotten me with that tripod.
I would have gotten got with the tripod for sure. Yeah. But so she smashes Chris in the back of the head with the tripod. Thinks she maybe killed him. She doesn't in that moment.
Mm-hmm. But good for going for it.
Yeah. So then she uses his like incapacitation to then get Holly out. And then Carla and Steve show up. And they fake, but then talk him down. And then is he just smart. Arrested?
He's just like mumbling on the floor and the police are on their way.
Okay.
And that's how the book ends. I thought for sure it was going to end in a hospital with some sort of wrap up. Nope.
Honestly, just ends with I'm Tina fine.
Going.
Yeah. I'm fine with it because I do worry that if it was in the hospital,
Josh would be like, alive.
She's like, no, she goes up to Chris and she's like, I'll wait for you to get better.
Yeah.
So I did really feel connected to you.
I know that someday you'll be able to forget Judy. I'll make you better.
But I really like that one.
No, but instead it ends with, Tina gazed into the darkening sky. Her eyes settled on the first star of the evening. No wish tonight, she thought. No wish at all. Tina knew that no matter how hard she wished, she would never be able to erase this weekend from her memory.
And you know what? Happy with it.
Love it. Love
it. Happy with it. Love it. Honestly, this is maybe one of my favorite Fear Streets, and it's not just because it was really short. It might be
just 60% because. It is not just like pre-script, not because it was really short. It was just that it was really short is all.
Yeah, it was really short, and it
I mean, good.
It didn't
good,
take
good,
me very I mean, good. Long.
And also, it was not long.
It was not long, and there weren't that many words, and the text was large.
Addition, verbose. Not. Yes. Not verbose. Not.
I liked it. I liked it. I say read it. It's available on Open Library, so you could get it for free. Get it from your library.
Recommend.
So thank you so much, everybody, for listening.
Yes. We really appreciate you. If you'd like to help the podcast, you can donate to us, patreon.com/teencreeps. We have a lot of extra content for people who do donate and at different level of tiers. So whatever you're able to give, that would be cool. If not, you can just tell a friend about us, leave us a rating and review on whatever podcast app you use. That's nice too. And a special thank you to our patrons who give at the $15 level, our Patreon producers. Thank you, Amanda Nangle.
Anne Dwyer.
Ashley Fritz.
Brian Petty II.
Claire Moore.
Courtney McPhail.
Danielle Amana.
Danny.
Emily Pooley.
Gabriela Santiago.
Gianna Fernandez.
Grace Armstrong.
Jeremy Kronk.
Jessica Smith Harper.
Jonathan Venable.
Jordan Kolick.
Karen Lewis.
Kat Miller.
Katie Lilly.
Katie Olsner.
Kelly Burns.
Chris Tarina.
Landry Desmond.
Laura Hooper.
Lonnie Martin.
Luke Bartek.
Mandalay Wolschlager.
Marcy Raquel Blackwell.
Marco Pavlicic.
Melody.
Megan Lozier.
Micah Eunice.
Miguel Camacho.
Miranda Hester.
Molly Marks.
Oscar Gallegos.
Randy Klett.
Rashad Black.
Rogue Kalahua.
Saoirse Descaro.
Sarah.
Sarah Jaggers.
Sarah Nichelle.
Sarah Wallen.
Sasha Gibson.
Sydney Bollinger.
Tristan Buckner.
Victoria Beck.
Victoria Gray.
Victoria Valdez.
And Wendy Bartos.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Oh, I just remembered that you were going to give an update. Honestly, I don't remember. I think we talked about this on Outside Genre and not last episode, though.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Let's tease one of our Outside Genre episodes by you updating our listeners on whether breathing through your nose during exercise worked out or not.
Okay. Well, this is just, this is like update A1. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there will be another update after I try something more strenuous. I did do it while doing kind of just like a mat sculpting exercise, like not really, no cardio, no like calisthenics or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to do it the whole time. So awesome. I'm going to try it with like a run, you know, something where I would be breathing harder, and I'm going to mm-hmm. see what happens then. And that will be update 1B.
Awesome.
I don't know why there's a one and a and B, whatever. I'll update. I'll let you know.
There's but so an update far, so good. A, an update B, or an update one and update two.
It's like 1A, 1B, and then like, are we going to go like 1C and then like 2A,
never
2B?
A two.
Like, what's happening? But yeah, so thank you so much, everybody. Really, and really appreciate it.
Next week, we are reading, can we say?
Yeah, I mean, it's far enough in the future that I think it'll be fine.
I think we're enough on schedule with recording. Whenever we don't give you guys an update, it's because we're not as on schedule with when we're recording, and mm-hmm. we need to read the book before you guys can check it out. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we will be reading The Surfer by Linda Cargill.
And I do not recall if we've already covered a Linda Cargill.
It doesn't sound familiar.
I think maybe I've just seen her name.
Perhaps.
Yeah. I think I've just seen her name in Point Horror and like thought about it, you know? Because mm-hmm. she's just a less well-known 90s point horror person. Oh, wait. She did Fatal Secrets. Didn't we do that?
That sounds familiar.
I guess we never did that. Oh,
no, we
no,
didn't.
That's Richie Tinkersley Cusick, Fatal Secrets. Oh, that's just she was in a list and I misread. Huh. Okay. Well, interesting. So we're going to be reading our first Linda Cargill.
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll see. Apparently it's a queer-coded 90s horror or so. Nice. Fingers crossed.
And then a little tease for what's coming in February. We won't announce the books just yet because we're still trying to decide on a fourth. But we will be doing another Fantasy February. This time,
yay!
Not another Fantasy February, another Fantasy Month. It's Fantasy February. And we will be covering 80s fantasy.
The classics.
Some classics. Some very like 80s girl crack cocaine shit.
Yeah. Yeah, like 80s horse girls, like what they would read. Like that.
You know what? There is basically a horse in every one of these.
Of course there is, Lindsay. What?
Very horse-centric.
Very well, horse-centric.
One
genre.
Is horse-centric. The other is you just get some good horses.
Well, I feel like either people are horses or ride horses or find horses or rescue horses. There's always some kind of horse situation in an 80s fantasy genre.
How could there not be? That's why we
How
all
could
had
there
a
not be? Yeah, exactly. Okay, so we will be doing Fantasy February. That's going to be really fun. And if you, maybe we can like.
Do you want to just say the first three? Because it's really only the fourth we haven't decided on. And maybe people have suggestions.
That's what I was going to ask for suggestions. Yeah, because cool. At first we were going to do Mists of Avalon for one of them. But y'all, that book is too long. It's 900 something.
30 hours to read, according to readinglength.com.
We can't do it. I'm
There's
sorry.
Just not time. The other books are also like 5 hours each.
Yeah.
Five
longer
or six
than
hours
we normally
each.
Do.
And then we also have an outside genre episode to do. And yeah. We just, you'd think that there'd be time. There's not time.
No.
Crazy.
No.
And Mists of Avalon is something I want to read, unfortunately, but just not this month.
Yeah. Because we all know that you guys were like getting horny in a closet reading these, reading freaking Mists of Avalon. I know. Yeah. Okay.
Get it. But so what we are doing is, February 3rd, The Neverending Story. Mm-hmm. February 10th, The Last Unicorn. February mm-hmm. 17th, The Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! And then a fourth. We don't know what the fourth. Please help us choose a fourth that isn't
Wait,
30 hours
I
long.
Think I read. Did you ever read The Red Sword by Robin McKinley? I remember reading that.
No, I've never even heard of that. Get it out of my face.
Oh, it's probably too up, long. There oh, no, is, only 300 pages. I don't know. If you guys have like
if that books hits that some you... buttons for you, let us know and we'll cover it.
Yeah.
Personally, I've never heard of it, so I don't have an emotional little girl connection to it.
Okay. I remember reading it, but it's yeah, I mean,
looked
I'm
up to
I'm
see
just...
if there was a book that Willow was based off of, but there was only a novelization of the movie.
You know what I am finding? Howl's Moving Castle, the book. Which is
I saw that as well. I don't have a connection to that, but obviously Howl's Moving Castle is a pretty big deal for people.
Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna see if it's extremely long. You know, that's the thing. So
that's
like
a possibility.
To a lot of your suggestions, here's the thing. To a lot of your suggestions, we're not saying like your suggestion is bad. We're just saying it's extremely long. The book is extremely long.
We have
a lot of
to
these
budget
books
our
are extremely
time.
Long.
We're sorry.
Yeah, I can't. I cannot.
I can't.
God, Mist of Avalon keeps coming up in lists. God.
Well, of course. Of course. Kelly and I were texting about this, and we sent at the same time. We sent How About Mists of Avalon at the exact same time, having no idea it was like 1,000 pages. God damn it. We were both like, I don't know. Is that a little long? I feel like maybe it's a little long. Something in my brain is telling me it's a little bit long. And then I looked it up, 30 hours.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I was really hard into Robin McKinley. I think this is why I knew about The Red Sword, because she also wrote, or Blue Sword, because she also wrote this book called Spindle's End, and it was a retelling of Sleeping Beauty. So I was very into this genre of story.
I mean, it's definitely fantasy, and I love the cover.
Over
it just
Blue Sword.
It just doesn't, for me, like, hit all those, like, nostalgia buttons.
Right. So yeah, get us some suggests. Lots of really beautiful covers on here, though. Lots of beautiful covers I'm seeing.
Published the year I was born.
Oh, Blue Sword.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm also looking at this White Rose cover. Very beautiful cover as well.
Maybe it will hit a bunch of nostalgia buttons for listeners.
I don't know.
In which case, I'm willing to cover it. I'm just trying to you know, capitalize off of people's childhoods.
I'm just trying to, you know what? I'm just trying to do the thing.
Trying to get some listeners interested.
I'm just trying to get, you know, make people happy. You know, we're just trying to spread joy.
I'm just trying to be zeitgeisty. I'm just trying to, like, help you regress developmentally like I am myself.
Right.
Regressing in terms of muscle mass, bone mass, sitting, and turning into a goo.
All right.
So it's college weekend. Next week, The Surfer.
Yeah.
Hooray.
All right. We'll see you guys next time.
Wear a mask. Don't do terrorism. Keep it creepy.
Forever. Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam. And liking our page on Facebook.